It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
That's the statement, the opening statement of the president's speech yesterday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. A powerful opening, an unusual opening. As long as I am president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. That is a huge declaration. And I think Iran, listening to that, probably understood he really meant it, since he did kill their second-in-command, Soleimani, just last, a few days ago? Seems like forever. There's so much news. And, of course, the way that the president's speech is being interpreted, if you are listening to other outlets, if you're listening to, CNN or MSNBC or NPR or you fill in the blanks, you would hear, a very different telling of how that speech was delivered. He stood there with the generals behind him, with the Secretary of Defense, with the Vice President. It was a very powerful, 11 minutes, something like that, for his speech. But if you were, listening to try to find out what he said through other sources, like, say, maybe Seth Meyers, you might have heard it a little differently. Your perspective on that speech might have changed. Let's listen to just a bit of Seth Meyers.
Moment right now is on Barack Obama, not Donald Trump.
You're blaming Obama for this? First of all, he pursued diplomacy with Iran. Second, the guy's been out of office for 3 years. He's been busy windsurfing, whitewater rafting, and gradually unbuttoning his shirt one button at a time. In fact, Obama's shirt is basically our new threat level.
You guys stop that clip, because it's clip six that I wanted. Clip six is the one. This is the speech of the president, and this is Seth Meyers' comments on it. Okay, we have a little problem. So hang on. Well, basically, he plays the speech, and underneath the speech, there's all this laughter, and Seth Meyers is mocking him. So that's the bottom line. I just wanted you to hear it. But I'm going to move on, because what I want to do in this next few minutes is I want you to hear the president. Not my description, not Seth Meyers' description. I want you to hear what the president actually said yesterday. So after he said, as long as I am president of the United States, Iran will never have nuclear weapons. This is how he went on. Clip two.
Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy. No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases. Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform. For far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism, and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world. We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani. As the head of the Quds Force, Soleimani was personally responsible for some of the absolutely worst atrocities. He trained terrorist armies, including Hezbollah, launching terrorist strikes against civilian targets. He fueled bloody civil wars all across the region. He viciously wounded and murdered thousands of U.S. troops, including the planting of roadside bombs that maim and dismember their victims. Soleimani directed the recent attacks on U.S. personnel in Iraq that badly wounded four service members and killed one American, and he orchestrated the violent assault on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. In recent days, he was planning new attacks on American targets, but we stopped him. Soleimani's hands were drenched in both American and Iranian blood. He should have been terminated long ago.
That's the first part, and I'm going to commit right now to not commenting on it. I want you to hear, unfiltered, what the president said yesterday morning in his speech. Let's listen to clip three.
By removing Soleimani, we have sent a powerful message to terrorists. If you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression, the United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime. These powerful sanctions will remain until Iran changes its behavior. In recent months alone, Iran has seized ships in international waters, fired an unprovoked strike on Saudi Arabia, and shot down two U.S. drones. Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013, and they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed. Then Iran went on a terror spree, funded by the money from the deal, and created hell in Yemen, Syria, Lebanon, Afghanistan, and Iraq. The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran. The very defective JCPOA expires shortly anyway and gives Iran a clear and quick path to nuclear breakout. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism. The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal, or JCPOA. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential. Iran can be a great country. Peace and stability cannot prevail in the Middle East as long as Iran continues to foment violence, unrest, hatred, and war.
That was President Trump yesterday morning. Of course, in that little bit clip, he is calling out the foolish Iran deal, the JCPOA. And he's saying we need a better one. We need one that really does secure the world's safety. Let me go on. Clip four. This is the last part of his speech yesterday morning. The president of the United States. Let's listen.
The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated any longer. It will not be allowed to go forward. Today, I am going to ask NATO to become much more involved in the Middle East process. Over the last 3 years, under my leadership, our economy is stronger than ever before, and America has achieved energy independence. These historic accomplishments change our strategic priorities. These are accomplishments that nobody thought were possible. And options in the Middle East became available. We are now the number one producer of oil and natural gas anywhere in the world. We are independent, and we do not need Middle East oil. The American military has been completely rebuilt under my administration at a cost of $2.5 trillion. U.S. armed forces are stronger than ever before. Our missiles are big, powerful, accurate, lethal, and fast. Under construction are many hypersonic missiles. The fact that we have this great military and equipment, however, does not mean we have to use it. We do not want to use it. American strength, both military and economic, is the best deterrent. 3 months ago, after destroying 100% of ISIS and its territorial caliphate, we killed the savage leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, who was responsible for so much death, including the mass beheadings of Christians, Muslims, and all who stood in his way. He was a monster. Al-Baghdadi was trying again to rebuild the ISIS caliphate and failed. Tens of thousands of ISIS fighters have been killed or captured during my administration. ISIS is a natural enemy of Iran. The destruction of ISIS is good for Iran, and we should work together on this and other shared priorities. Finally, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home and harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. I want to thank you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, that was your president yesterday, and in case you didn't hear it, I wanted you to hear it. You heard clips probably on the news. You may have heard Seth Meyer mocking him and other late-night comedians making fun of how he spoke, not really letting you hear him unfiltered. I think about a lot of people that I know who criticize him, and I think, are you listening to what he's actually saying? Are you watching what he's actually doing? In that speech, again, he said, if you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of our people. You know, under the Obama era, do you remember how many Americans were accosted overseas? Do you remember the pastor that was arrested in Iran and imprisoned? Do you remember the kid that died in North Korea, Otto Warmbier? Do you remember how Americans became targets? Do you remember the Iranians taking sailors hostage, 10 of them, just humiliating them and no one doing anything? The president, President Obama, did nothing. It used to be that the American passport meant something, and we were safe traveling abroad because people were afraid in other countries of messing with American citizens. Kind of remember like the Roman citizens in the New Testament. They had special privileges. You didn't mess with Rome, and that's the way it was with the U.S. prior to Barack Obama. The president of the United States right now is reinstating. He's saying, don't mess with America and stop it, because there will be retaliation. He also reminded us that just moments after the JCPOA was enacted, the Iranians, that means all that money that they got, all that great deal that they got, they were cheering death to America, no gratitude. And so he had a lot of really great things to say. I'm going to open the phone lines in a little bit, but I do have some other things I want to tell you first, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi refused to take a telephone call from Vice President Mike Pence, alerting her that American troops were under attack in Iraq. Politico's Heather Cargill shared the jaw-dropping scoop on Twitter. "Tell him I'll call him back." That's what the speaker said after she was handed a note saying the VP was on the line. Fox News reported Pelosi eventually returned that call after she learned about the missile attack. It's a stunning revelation, especially after the Democrats complained that President Trump had kept them out of the loop when U.S. forces took out Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. So let's be clear about what really happened on Capitol Hill. Americans were under attack, and Speaker Pelosi refused to answer the phone. It sounds like something President Obama or Hillary Clinton would do. Be sure to check out the latest edition of my Toddcast podcast. It's a free download at toddstearns.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime. Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism. The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place.
Oh, now you want a deal. You already ripped up one and then attacked them. Why would they negotiate a second deal with a guy who lies about everything and always goes back on his word?
Yeah, so that's Seth Meyers. Just in part, I wanted you to hear that earlier. I hope you could hear the laughter under it. That's the way they presented his little bits of his speech as they editorialize. And, of course, Seth then calls the president a liar. And that's what people are hearing. So that's what they believe. Those continued little talking points that kind of it's propaganda and it folds into people things that are not true. And that's why I wanted you to hear the speech without my comments and without the comments of other people. But now let's go back in time, because we have now the media totally saying that not just the media, we have the House now is getting ready to start hearings on war powers resolution to come after President Trump for taking out Soleimani. I mean, they're serious about coming after our president for taking out Soleimani. The chief of all terrorism, the head of the Quds Force, which was declared a terrorist group, I think in 2017 by the United States. So it's a twisting, a perversion, and they continue to try to undermine him and continue. Trust me, you're going to hear a lot about this today. In fact, in the I forgot who's introducing it in the House, but Tim Kaine is introducing it in the Senate, this war powers resolution. Andy McCarthy has a great article on this. It's on Fox this morning, and he talks about the War Powers Resolution. It was passed in 1973 by a Democratic-dominated Congress. Just to give you some history here, the Vietnam War was so controversial, that much you probably all know. So what happened is a lot of the long-haired hippies, the instigators of the anti-nuclear, the anti-war movement, not the average Joes who just heard the message and joined the group, but the brain trust of that decided to cut their hair and run for Congress. That's what they did. And they actually took it over. And there were what we called the church committee hearings. I believe those happened in the early 80s. But their goal was to completely dismantle our intelligence operations, to stop the harassment of dissenters. They would call it harassment. The FBI at that time was very effective in spotting and infiltrating and figuring out who the bad guys really were. So they wanted to stop that, and they pretty much did. You remember that wall of separation? That there was much said about that during the after the 9/11 attack. They accused our intelligence agencies of not communicating, but the reason they didn't communicate was because the wall of separation was put in place by the Congress during those church hearings. And so, and during that time, they also then passed this War Powers Resolution, which it's okay. I'll see if I can make it simple. It requires the commander in chief to have an authorization by the Congress of the use of military force or an actual attack on the United States or its forces. It calls for the president to consult with Congress before ordering our forces into hostilities, and to report to Congress within 48 hours of so ordering in them. And then here it gets worse. If Congress does not authorize military action within 60 days, the War Powers Act says the president must withdraw our forces. So you know that the Constitution gives the president of the United States the powers of commander-in-chief and prosecute the war. In the best way that he sees fit. Abraham Lincoln actually took over the troops for a time because he had such horrible experiences with his generals. So in the Constitution, the commander-in-chief is that. He is the commander-in-chief of the military forces, but the left tried to take away the power of the executive because they hated Nixon, and they loved the Vietnam War in the sense that it was stirring up trouble, because that's what communist leftists do. They look for trouble. They stir it up. They turn people against each other in order to take power. I say that to you often, but trust me, it's true. You can just look at history and see the examples of that. But Andy goes back to say that he does not think that the War Powers Resolution is even constitutionally. He argues his case in there, and he talks about, he said one thing that Congress can do is withhold the purse strings. Just stop the money. But he said the reason Congress won't do that is they don't want to be blamed if we lose a war, if we lose a conflict, or if some foreign actor who's at war with us, like Iran, should do a lot of damage, and they withdraw the funding for the president and the commander-in-chief to actually be able to fight it, then they get the blame. And, they wouldn't want that. And so Tim Kaine's going to introduce his little bill to stop the president from his ability to handle this situation with Iran, and I don't know when the Senate is going to do that, but the House is going to talk about it today, so just expect to hear about that. That's going to be voted on today. But things were different, oh so different, back when President Clinton was the president. Let me just say that you may remember that when he was being in the process of impeachment, he ordered strikes on Iraq, airstrikes over Iraq. So the response to that at the time was that, let's see, what was the outlet here? I don't know what the name was. Nicholas Fondacaro on NBC. He claimed that Trump was starting a religious war to distract from impeachment. The New York Times wondered if Trump was trying to wag the dog at Trump. No, sorry. Now, recently, the New York Times is wondering if Trump is trying to wag the dog to divert from impeachment. It's a contrast. So Nicholas Fondacaro on NBC is saying that Trump started. I am so confused. I'm sorry. I'm getting you confused. I'm trying to read a very complicated article with lots of complicated notes here. So let me go back. I want you to know, of course, that you do know that they are accusing President Trump of using this action in Iran to distract from his impeachment. And those were two examples, NBC and New York Times. Okay, so 21 years ago, by contrast, here's the contrast. Bill Clinton ordered airstrikes over Iraq, and it was during his impeachment. But journalists had a very different response then. They talked about it's a cynical age and possibly treasonous to question sitting president's military power. Gwen Ifill on NBC Nightly News during that time said, with the nation at war, the question is whether it's even appropriate to act on impeachment now. She's talking, of course, about Bill Clinton. World News Tonight, Peter Jennings. Remember Peter Jennings? He bemoaned that there was not the traditional rally around the leader's support that usually results when American forces are in action overseas. So this is 1998. This is when Bill Clinton was being impeached and he ordered strikes in Iran. Meanwhile, Brian Williams, who used to be highly respected before, of course, we found out that he was a habitual liar on the air. You remember that? Well, he went on Nightline, and this is what he had to say.
By the way, Larry Eagleburger went even a step further tonight, and the secretary said that, of course, in his view, politics played a part, was a component in the president's decision. Is it the height of cynicism in the 90s that we are discussing this at all? That anyone doubts the purity of a president's moment when committing troops in action militarily.
One of the most disturbing and deeply cynical days in American political memory, when you have the head of the Senate saying he does not support the airstrike because he doesn't believe in the motive or the timing.
All right, so let me repeat what Brian Williams just said back in 1998 in regard to President Clinton ordering strikes in Iraq. Is it the height of cynicism in the 90s that we are discussing this at all? That anyone doubts the purity of a president's moment when committing troops in action militarily? And then he goes on to say, one of the most disturbing and deeply cynical days in American political memory when you have the head of the Senate saying he does not support the airstrike because he doesn't believe in the motive or the timing. I just want you to see that things are very different now, aren't they? The news media feels free. I took him after the commander-in-chief for his, I think it's a very different situation even than Clinton. And I did think, you know, that Wag the Dog was a movie that came out shortly after, or maybe during Clinton's administration, which was shocking. It was with Dustin Hoffman. And it talked about this whole ploy to save a president by starting a war. And so it was the first time we were innocent during that. I think we were more innocent now then. And so now this is what, of course, they're accusing President Trump of, and you're going to be hearing more about that. And as a matter of fact, they are moving ahead with these articles of impeachment. Now, Pelosi is digging her heels in. She is still refusing to send them over to the Senate, even though people are saying, oh, she will, she will, she will. She's coming under criticism from her own caucus. Many Senate Democrats, I think there are five of them, are saying, send them over. Enough is enough. Of course, I should tell you who they are, but I won't. Dianne Feinstein is one of them. The problem for me, the reason I am sort of concerned about this is that I know Mitch McConnell sounds like he has it all in hand, but I don't, you know that Josh Hawley was recommending that the articles of impeachment, there be a resolution to just disregard them because they had not been sent over and just dismiss the whole thing. And yet Mitch McConnell is insisting that, that they need to have a trial. And so is Lindsey Graham. And so they are saying now that they may pass a resolution. In fact, Graham is saying he's going to enter one. If she doesn't send these articles in, I think, by Friday, I think that was the deadline, that they're going to go ahead and proceed with a trial. I don't really see how that makes sense. I think the procedure is to send the article for the House to conduct a trial, send over or the hearing. Send over the articles of impeachment, and then the Senate convenes based on those articles. And now the Senate's talking about convening a trial without having the articles sent over. It seems to me that's a big step, and I kind of agree with Josh Hawley that until that step is made, there shouldn't be a trial. There shouldn't be anything. So I think the president is in danger in the Senate. I don't care what anybody says. I don't trust them. And ultimately, I still don't trust Mitch McConnell. Now, he's making some good statements, but he always does before an election. He always does make good statements. But I mistrust him. I distrust him. Just saying. Also, Mike Lee made a statement last night that was pretty disturbing to me. I don't know if we have that isolated. Yes, we do. After the briefing by the generals of the congresspersons, the Democrats and the Republicans, Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, came out to the mic and was furious, just furious. I'll give you an idea of how furious he was. This is clip 15.
With history as our guide, consultation isn't necessarily the same thing as authorization for the use of military force. A declaration of war or an AUMF is what the Constitution requires, and drive-by notification or after-the-fact lame briefings like the one we just received aren't adequate.
Yeah, so he's pretty upset. He said it was the worst briefing he'd ever been in. Tom Cotton was, who served in Iraq, said it was a good briefing. He had no problem with it, and he believes that the threats were imminent. And of course, the Democrats, after the briefing, would it surprise you to know that they came out to the mics and said that the attack from Iran was not imminent? Yeah, they say so. It was, totally unjustified, the killing of Soleimani. That's basically what they're saying. And so it was interesting to me to hear Tom Cotton kind of respond to his colleague, Mike Lee. He did not in person, face to face, but he responded to the clip. And this is what Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas had to say, clip 17.
Well, Brett, I think it's unfortunate that so many Democrats are making the question of the imminence of this attack a partisan measure. General Miller was very clear. The intelligence he saw suggested a major attack against our troops in Iraq and the Middle East within weeks, if not days. Intelligence rarely gets better than that. It rarely tells you the exact moment on the exact day at the exact place. But finally, I just have to say, on questions of imminence, it probably looks a lot different if you're a soldier sitting in Iraq than if you're a comfortable senator sitting behind secure doors with armed guards in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, pretty profound. In other words, yeah, okay, so you're going to argue about how imminent this threat was. The general said it was imminent. He gave his reasons. We didn't hear the briefing, so I can't repeat that. I don't know. Tom Cotton says, I believe it was imminent. But of course, the whole description or the urgency might be a little different from a senator sitting in a leather chair behind a desk in Washington from a soldier on the base waiting for that attack. Might be different, the whole sense of urgency and danger. And that was right on, spot on. God bless Tom Cotton. By the way, Nancy Pelosi, Todd Starnes referred to this in his commentary. Let me just flesh it out. She tweeted after the attack, closely monitoring the situation following bombings targeting U.S. troops in Iraq. That's what she tweeted at 6:31 p.m. We must ensure the safety of our service members, including endless, needless provocations from the administration and demanding that Iran cease its violence. America and the world cannot afford war. Okay, so she said we're carefully monitoring. That's the part. Closely monitoring the situation. At 6:31, that's what she said. But here's the problem. At 5:40, nearly an hour before she did that tweet, a reporter from Politico posted on Twitter, in meeting tonight, Speaker Pelosi was handed a note telling her Vice President Pence was on the phone. Tell him I'll call him back, she said, according to sources in the room, noting she had to go to open the House for a new session. 2 minutes later, she was handed a note about the airbase bombing. So in other words, she couldn't bother to talk to the vice president, and then the bombing took place. And then she says that she was carefully monitoring the situation. Trouble is, at 6:14, the Washingtonian magazine posted a picture of her attending an opening of a Washington, D.C. restaurant. And then, of course, at 6:34, after she attended that little opening and had her little pleasantries to say, she did talk to Mike Pence, but it was after the attack. Liz Cheney tweeted, the speaker is an embarrassment and unfit for office. And so I think she is, too. I think she's a disgrace. And I think all, the war powers thing that they're going to be discussing today and just doing anything they can to undermine the authority of the president, both to the American people and to the Iranians, I think it's dangerous. Now, let's open the phone lines. 888-589-8840.
Peter said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. At the climax of the account, when Jesus restored Peter's personal relationship with him and Peter's call to ministry, he saw John following them. Jesus had just predicted that Peter would give his life for the gospel when Peter said, "What about John, Lord?" Jesus responded, "What does he have to do with your calling? You follow me." With those words, Jesus hit a consistent flaw of the human condition. We derive value and self-worth by comparing ourselves to other people. Your ups, your downs, your failures, your victories were never meant to be compared to other people. We have been called to serve an audience of one. The only approval you need is His.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Cross-examined with Dr. Frank Turek.
Dr. Norman Geisler said elections are normally the choice between a known witch and a suspected devil.
Examining the role of Christians in a post-Christian society.
Since we don't have Jesus on the ballot, we're never going to have a perfect candidate. And quite often, we got to choose the least worst choice.
Cross-examined with Dr. Frank Turek. Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Before Barack Obama came along, sanctions had been imposed on Iran that froze over $150 billion Iran was keeping in American banks. President Obama unfroze that money and flew an additional $2 billion in cash on pallets to Iran as a ransom payment. His Secretary of State even admitted there was no guarantee that Iran would not use the money to commit acts of terror against the United States. This means that Barack Obama, in essence, paid for the missiles that Iran is raining down on American soldiers. Where Obama drew a red line and then ignored it, President Trump drew a red line and enforced it by killing enemy combatant and terrorist General Qasem Soleimani. President Obama sent the bad guy money. President Trump took the bad guy out. I'm with President Trump on this one.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. After the latest Iranian attack against American military personnel in Iraq, from which they fortunately emerged unscathed, President Trump imposed additional economic sanctions on the mullah's regime rather than violent punishment. His Democratic opponents nonetheless continued their criticism of his Iran policy that is often indistinguishable from Iranian propaganda. At a minimum, the not very loyal opposition's party line is being seized upon by Tehran's mouthpieces to support theirs. So will congressional votes to restrict presidential action on Iran. The question occurs, are Democrats actually coordinating with Iran? The Washington Free Beacon reports that some, including Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, are working with the National American-Iranian Council, an organization founded by Trita Parsi, whom the Ayatollah's own media have called part of the Iran lobby. Keep that in mind the next time you hear Iranian propaganda coming from Democratic leaders and vice versa. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. It's 888-589-8840. Let me remind you that AFA Action is having several town hall meetings in 2020. And so you don't want to miss those. They're going to be in Dubuque, Iowa, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Flagstaff, Arizona, and Gainesville, Florida. The first one is coming up January the 16th, so that's in Dubuque, Iowa, and with the middle in the middle of the caucuses. I would imagine lots of you would probably love to attend that. It's going to feature Walker Wildman, Rob Chambers, and Abraham Hamilton III, and Wes Wildman is going to be the MC and moderator. So you can find out more about that at afaaction.net, afaaction.net, the place, the time, and all of that kind of stuff. All right. I'm really interested to hear what you have to say. You've been taking in a lot of information, too. And I always appreciate your insights. So here we go. Our phone number, again, is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Barb in North Carolina. Good morning, Barb.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was watching on NBC last night, and they were saying that this was a dig when Trump said something about the paying of the money and all of that to the Obama administration. So they had her on for a response. And she said, well, the $1.7 billion was basically Iran's money anyway, that they were, quote, giving it back. And I'm going to sort of paraphrase how I interpreted it, that after they had met certain conditions. And I'm like, huh, does that kind of sound like Ukraine and getting some money? And, you know, there was just a parallel there that I'm like, oh, it was good for them to do. But if Trump didn't give the Ukrainians back their money, like, immediately, or give their aid money immediately, that was an impeachable.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, you're saying that's just a living example of President Obama, if it's true.
Hypocrisy.
President Obama, you know, doing a quid pro quo with Iran. Now, but here's the thing, the larger story, I think, on that, Barb, I think you said Susan Rice was the person talking about this.
Yeah.
Now, let's just speculate for a second, because it is good, you know, we want to be, we want to know what the truth is. If this money was owed to Iran, I wonder why they felt the need to deliver it on pallets in various currencies from around the world in the middle of the night. It seems as though if they owed it, they would want people to know that they owed it, and we're paying them back. Here's a big fat check from the United States for all that interest money owed. See, that it's just a lie. And I know Seth Meyers, that's one of the things that he laughed about, too. He says there's no truth to that. Obama did not pay the Iranians money. Well, that talk about a lie. That's a lie, and that's the problem. And by the way, let me just interject something, Barb, for you and for everyone listening. I'm beginning to understand that it's not the politicians driving what's happening in this country, not the ones on the left, I mean, the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's. It is actually the media companies who are owned by leftists and who have, you know, billions collectively in cash, who are waging their campaign against people like you and me and against this president. And the media is just the media is leading the charge, and the politicians are actually following. I know that seems a little strange, but that's actually what's happening. And that was a great idea, a great example last night of how NBC is doing their part. Barb, thanks a lot for that report. Let's go to Walter in Oklahoma. Good morning, Walter.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that Trump seems to always amaze me with being a non-politician. He changed the game of what the terrorists who are attacking civilians that's running high, like after they attack like little roaches and go back to the safety of the nest. He showed them that they can also be found. It's no more running and hiding and not getting any repercussions. And plus, when they talk about they declare war on us, and like there is limitations on who we can protect ourselves against. They use a whole plane aimed at the White House, not a drone, but a whole plane aimed at the White House. Everyone for the brave Americans who sacrificed their lives. They would have not only killed our president, but they would have killed the dignitaries around him. So I'm just amazed at the hypocrisy and how they defend someone like him, talking about how bad the president is with someone as evil as the one that he took out. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, no, Walter, that's true. And let me just say, you say excellent points. You say that the president is a game changer, and I want to point out another thing, absolutely game changer, because prior to killing Soleimani, the Iranians for the last four decades have always, they've acted and then we have responded. They've done something horrible, then we've responded. We usually just give them money or we have a few sanctions here or there. Nobody ever does anything that really, really hurts them until President Trump has come into office. And now President Trump has instilled these really strict restrictions on trade and sanctions, and it has really, really crippled the Ayatollahs and the horrible leadership, including Soleimani. By the way, Soleimani was the one in charge of killing his fellow Iranians, the protesters. Something like 1,500 have been murdered in this past, I don't know the time span, year, 2 years, I don't know. Then in prison, 15,000. It was Soleimani who did that. Okay, so now the game change is that as a result of killing Soleimani, the president is now saying, okay, you struck our bases. No one was killed. That's a good thing for you, I'm guessing. He didn't say that, but I'm saying that. Good for you, Iran, that nobody was killed, because it would be really awful what was coming next. But we're withholding future actions. We're going to sanction you further. This is the deal. Now it's your turn. We're going to put the squeeze on you financially. We're going to increase the sanctions. It's going to dry up your economy even worse. Your people are going to be out in the streets protesting your leadership unless you take care of your nuclear weapons, stop developing nuclear weapons, and unless you stop perpetrating terrorism around the globe. Those are the conditions. Otherwise, I can't quite say what it is we might do next. And so talk about a game changer. That's just amazing, Walter, a game changer. So I think your point is right on. Let's go to April in Alabama. Good morning, April.
Good morning, Sandy. I don't have a very educated anything. The only thing I wanted to ask you was, why are we hearing that there were no casualties when I have seen a mother post about losing her young husband at the terrorist attack Monday?
I don't know anything about that, April. You'd have to send that to me. According to our military sources, no one was killed. My understanding is that we actually were able to intercept, because of our technology, what Iran was going to do. And the Iranians, in addition, told the Iraqi soldiers what they were going to do. The Iraqi soldiers told the American soldiers, but we already knew about it, and our guys were secured. So I kind of doubt that, actually. One report on Facebook is probably not. Maybe if you see other things, or even if you see that, I'd love to see that. Send it to me.
How do I do that?
Well, I don't know. You have to figure that part out. Copy and paste.
Okay.
Yeah, and send it to sandy@afr.net.
Sandy@afr.net.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I'd like to see it. Okay, thanks, April. Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you. Let's go to Dante in Louisiana. Good morning, Dante.
Hey,
you're a 27.
Sandy, love your show.
My understanding is you're a military veteran, 27 years. I wanted people to know that about what before you make your statement.
So here's my point, and it just drives me crazy with the double standard of the Democrats, where they can't wrap their mind around it. One soldier's life lost because of Soleimani is more than enough to justify removing that guy off the face of the earth. And you go back to Obama. When the sailors were caught on that ship, that right there within itself should have been enough to justify a lethal reaction to those guys. So why is this such a big deal for them to wrap their mind around it, that this is a just absolutely justified removal of an evil person? That's all I have. Thanks, Sandy.
Hey, Dante. Okay, he's gone.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, how do you think service people feel about that? Like, if you could imagine you were in Iraq, stationed there when this is all happening, would you be begging the president not to kill Soleimani so that you would not be attacked in that moment? How would you feel as an American citizen soldier?
That would be preposterous. It's preposterous. They want those kind of guys taken out. You know, and we took out guys like that came up on the count that were like, this is a bad guy, and we're going to take all means necessary to remove this guy off the face of the earth and keep him from doing evil, you know. So when that comes up, it's applauded.
Yep. Yes. Okay. So that's why I asked you, Dante. I wanted to know what you thought and your perspective. It is war, after all. You guys are there trained to fight, and you understand war, and you understand that enemies must be killed. You know, you can't pay them off. Somebody, you're standing there pointing a rifle at someone in combat, you don't offer them $50 to not pull the trigger. It's the nature of mankind, the nature of warfare, and it makes no sense. And because nobody ever fights anymore, Dante, the people that are serving are so few. People are really stupid about this. I'm sad to say they just are completely ignorant.
Absolutely. And the most aggravating thing is either we fight them over there on their doorstep, or we're going to be fighting them on our doorstep. And I'd much rather fight them over there on their doorstep. you know.
Yes, well, and God bless you. That's why we are so grateful for our soldiers, because you guys get that. You lay your lives on the line to keep the homeland safe. Oh, that there were more of you doing that right now. Dante, thank you, and God bless you for your service. Let me go to Royce in Arkansas. Good morning, Royce.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for what you do. I wanted to switch just a little bit to Mike Lee, if I can. I'm a little frustrated with this man, and I wanted to share. I hope his constituents stand up to him and take him to task over some of the decisions he's made lately. You know, I supported this man, and I thought he's been a good senator, but here lately he's moved, started with immigration, with trying to bring all these extra people in here that shouldn't be, and forced to, not wanting anybody to vote on that, just pass a bill. And now he's coming up with this yesterday and going in, and he's going to support Tim Kaine and what he's doing in the Senate this morning with the war powers. This is a man that needs to be taken to task, and I hope his constituents do, because these kind of senators that they're doing this, they are undermining our president and what he is trying to do in this country, and it is damaging his ability to do anything abroad, and they need to pull themselves back in. I got a call from some of his people last night, and I feel their earful about Mike Lee, because I have supported him. I don't know that I will in the future, but his constituents need to know and understand that he is damaging this country doing things the way he's doing it.
Yeah, Royce, I'm not arguing with you at all. I have some friends that are defending him, and when I have more time to read their defense, I'll speak about that a little bit more. But Mike, you know, supported the criminal justice reform bill that Jared Kushner was really working on, along with Van Jones, the communist Van Jones, who's on CNN, self-described communist. And that really concerned me. So I'm with you. I feel like Mike is not as solid as we thought he was, and I'm concerned. And so we'll continue to watch, and I'm glad you told him how you felt about it. Royce, thanks a lot. Appreciate your input. Let's go to Sonia in Louisiana. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. How are you, Sandy?
Good, good. So, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment about the young lady that called a few minutes ago about the young soldier that she heard had gotten killed. If it's the same post that I saw, it was from the Kenya attack that happened on Monday. I think it might have been a different incident than what we were talking, you know, been talking about in Iraq.
Okay, so that would make a lot of sense, because I think one soldier was killed. Nobody was talking. It's Boko Haram, and they did a horrible attack in Nigeria on one of our bases. So, it's funny,
right.
It's been silent about that. So I think that, you know, you may have the answer there. Sonia, thank you. I appreciate that insight. Let's go to Chris in Texas. Quickly, Chris, if you can.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the technicality of giving back the money to Iran, that they're trying to say it was technically theirs. That's like saying a drug dealer who has been in jail for many years, you're going to give back all the money that you confiscated for them, their staff, and give it back to them because it was technically theirs.
Yeah, well, it's a good point, Chris. It's a good point. And that is the argument they're making. But of course, I'm not even convinced that was the whole point of that cash. Again, the way it was delivered makes me think it was an under-the-table deal with Iran to help them in some way, a wink and a nod, and that's certainly what it did. And the president stated that in his speech yesterday, and rightfully so. Chris, thanks a lot. And listen, thank you all for your comments. By the way, you can reach me at sandy@afr.net. Thank you for your Facebook posts, for your email. I read them. I just don't always have time to respond. But thank you so much for listening. We are, after all, a team. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.